In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. There's a beautiful and true proverb that comes first from the pen of author John Watson. And that proverb goes like this. Everyone is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Be kind always. Our story today begins in Egypt in the 500s. 12-year-old girl named Mary, for reasons unknown, ran away from home and fled to Egypt's largest city at the time, Alexandria. And there she lived a wildly immoral life, yes, starting at age 12. Similar to the life of the younger son in the prodigal son story, Mary was using and abusing the substances of the day, using and being used by certain people of the city in ways not too difficult to imagine. And petty jobs and petty theft maintained this lifestyle throughout her teens and 20s. Right around the age of 30, Mary heard of a great festival in Jerusalem and boarded a ship heading in that direction. Little did Mary know that this festival was not the kind of party she was anticipating. The festival was, in fact, the Feast of the Holy Cross, and the actual cross of Jesus Christ was there for veneration. As Mary followed the people up the steps of the church, she suddenly felt an overwhelming force, something spiritual which kept her from entering. And as crowds of people pushed past her, Mary has a breakdown right on the porch of the church. The last 17 years of indignities and loneliness flood Mary of Egypt's heart. And there on the church porch, Mary did something she hadn't done in years. She prayed. She prayed. And one of those full, like gut-wrenching prayers from the deepest part of a person's being. Now, Mary fully expected God to reject her. But instead of feeling rejected, Mary felt an overwhelming acceptance, a divine receiving, a holy embrace, a love so deep that she couldn't believe that such a thing actually existed and that it could be meant for her. And a silent voice within her heart said, "Welcome home, my daughter." Now, above the church's doors was an icon of the Holy Lady. And in that moment, Mary of Egypt prayed to her namesake, Mary, the Mother of the Lord, saying these words, "Help me, O Pure One. Let me see the wood on which your son redeems the lost." Mary of Egypt prayed this, she said, expecting not just rejection, but hatred. She expected outright hatred. So full of self-loathing was Mary of Egypt, she thought, how could the Holy Lady feel anything but hatred for who she had become, for what she had been living? And of course, Mary of Egypt received neither hatred nor rejection, but a sense of the sweetest motherly love that she had ever felt. And empowered by this love, Mary of Egypt entered the church and venerated the wood of the cross. And after the service, Mary came back outside and again sat on that same spot on the porch of the church, looking at the icon, physically drained, but for the first time in decades, spiritually alive. And as the crowds were pushing past, Mary became very self-conscious about how she was dressed. Not exactly culturally approved church clothes was she wearing. And at that moment, an old man taps Mary on the shoulder, and Mary expects him to rebuke her appearance, but he does nothing of the sort. This sweet, holy old man pulls 3 silver coins out of his cloak and gives them to Mary, saying, "You look like you could use this." This was the third extension of compassion Mary experienced that hour. Three times Mary had braced herself for rejection. Three times Mary instead received love and kindness. She received love from Jesus Christ, from the Son of God, in that opening prayer. She was received with maternal love by the Virgin Mary, her namesake. And then she was shown love through the generosity of a kind old man who looked past outward appearances to the wounded soul within. And with the three coins, Mary bought three loaves of bread and then went into the wilderness to live a life of contemplative prayer and repentance for the next 47 years until her death. Now, so much has been written and said about what Mary did in her life of repentance, and that's easily accessible. But today I'd like to take a minute to focus on what Mary received, especially at that crucial hour of her life on those sacred church steps. When Mary hit her crisis, she was filled with guilt and shame and despair and self-loathing. And she expected everyone else to see her in the same dark way. She expected everyone to see her as worthless. Now, can you imagine her life if that's what she actually received? A message of worthlessness. Can you imagine if, instead of being given three small coins by a sweet old man, can you imagine if someone had kicked her out of church for what she had been wearing? What a different story Mary's life would have been if she hadn't received the kindness she'd received. Everyone is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Be kind always. In today's gospel, Jesus is eating at the home of a religious leader, and right off the street in walks a prostitute. And the woman falls down at the Lord's feet, weeps on those sacred feet, anoints those sacred feet, and dries those same feet with the hair of her head. And now this religious leader, Simon is his name, this fellow is disgusted. He's just disgusted. He can't believe Jesus would let this woman touch his feet in such an intimate way. Jesus, on the other hand, not only defends but exalts this woman as an example of holiness, and Jesus receives her with unconditional love. And that unconditional love shown in her hour of crisis makes all the difference. And I would dare say that unconditional love is the only thing that makes a difference in someone's hour of crisis. The kindness Jesus shows this prostitute redeems the horrors of her life in the same way that the kindness of an old man with silver coins did for Mary of Egypt in her hour of crisis. And if you've ever been in an hour of crisis or despair or hopelessness or self-loathing, you'll probably remember that the only thing that really helps is another person's kindness, another person's gentleness, another person's love. In that hour, that love and gentleness and kindness feels like the breath of God. Because it is. Because it is. In the history of the world, very few people have ever been argued into the kingdom of heaven. And I dare say no person has ever been shamed into the kingdom of heaven. But billions, with a B, billions have been loved into the kingdom of heaven. And here's the thing. You can't tell from the outside who is in crisis. You can't tell by how they're dressed or their current mood or what they're saying or by the friends they keep or by any outside criteria. And sometimes it's the person who seems to have it all together who's hurting the worst. But your kindness, your love, may be the most important thing in their life that hour. And that love may be what makes all the difference. Everyone is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Be kind always. Amen.